So we are continuing on with our survey of the Canons of Dort. It was written 400 years ago this year, celebrating the 400th anniversary. What's happening in this document is it is a response to questions or requests on the part of a number of pastors in Holland to teach certain things that were not being taught in the churches. And so they presented this list or this document of doctrines that they wanted to teach, and the synod is now responding. So some of the things that you're, as we're reading Article 15, is because it's in response to and clarifying and correcting. There's both a positive declaration of the truth and also a critique or a refutation of what is wrong, what's not biblical. So both of those are going on here. Primarily, it's the positive, but the critique is there as well. So Article 14 opens with the great question, what does the Apostle Paul mean when he states, and we find that in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, but that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. So what did Paul mean about grace and faith? What is the relationship between God acting, grace, and our acting, believing? What is the relationship? Paul says, for by grace, God acting, what's grace? Unmerited favor, or receiving what we don't deserve. So grace is God giving us something we don't deserve. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Okay, so there is a response that we have to grace. But then he says, but even that response is a gift. Again, by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. That faith that you exercise is not something that you have. You didn't do it, ultimately, in yourself. But, by grace you've been saved through faith, but that faith is not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. It is also grace, lest anyone should boast. Is there going to be any boasters in heaven? No, not one. And so, we look at Article 14. Faith is therefore to be considered as the gift of God, not on account of its being offered by God to man to be accepted or rejected at man's pleasure, but because it is in reality, now different ways of saying the same thing, conferred upon him, breathed and infused into him. The point is, it is God who gives it. It is the work of the Spirit of God. It is the work, that active work of grace. Again, it is grace as a verb. Heidelberg Catechism, question 21, one of the best definitions of true faith. True faith is what? Is not only a certain knowledge, where I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also a hearty trust which the Holy Spirit works in me by the gospel. I have that trust, that heart trust, because the Holy Spirit does heart surgery. He takes the stony heart of the natural man in Adam and removes it and places a new heart in. And that work, the result is I am believing. The evidence of that beating heart, if you will, is not blood pumping through the body, but faith being exercised in the life of the believer. It is God's active work. Again, farther down in Article 14, he who works in man both to will and to work. Where's that in the Bible? Paul writes that in Philippians chapter 2. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So when you do something that is pleasing to God, it is ultimately because God is working in you and through you. Who gets the glory? Who gets the credit? Ultimately, it's God, isn't it? Don't we live for the glory of God? Don't we live for His pleasure? Aren't we created to reveal God? We're created in the image of God. The goal of life should be, I want them to see Jesus. If they see Jesus in me, I've accomplished my purpose on being here on earth, right? I want them to see Jesus. Jesus lived through me. So he who works in man both to will and to work, and indeed all things in all produces both the will to believe and the act of believing also. Now this is offensive to man, the natural man, and even to some Christians. Well, what do you mean? I am the one that determines whether I'm saved or not. It's all about my exercise of my free will. That's the determining factor. That's what these pastors were asking to be able to teach. And the synod there in Dort in Holland said, no, it starts with God. It ends with God. Yes, we do respond. We do believe. But we give glory to God. It is he who starts the work. It is he who completes. Now, the charge usually is, well, that's not fair that God is under no obligation to confer this grace about anyone. So the natural man says, well, that doesn't seem fair. How is it that God doesn't save everybody? The Bible says not everybody is going to heaven. There are some that are not, some that are going to hell. Well, the Bible says God is love. So God loves everybody. I had a t-shirt one time when I was first I came to Christ and I was in a different church, and it said, Jesus loves you, San Diego. Does Jesus love everyone in San Diego? Good question. We understand God is love by the Bible definition. God is love, and that love starts with God. God loves God eternally. Do you understand that point? The Father loved the Son eternally. The Son loves the Father eternally, and so on. And anything that is attack on one person is an attack on all the persons. And so the love that we see is a further extension of God. But God first loves God. We are debtors. God is not. Paul writes that in Romans chapter 4, verse 4. We are born as those who owe. And so we are saved by grace and mercy. The mercy of God means what? Not getting what you deserve. We are saved by mercy, by grace. God is under no obligation, but he in his great love toward us saves us. And so it says, we owe eternal gratitude to God, and we do give thanks to him forever. There's so much more here. I'm running past time, so take this home, meditate on it. There's so much in this declaration. If you have any questions, come and see me.